Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Namaste. Welcome in to the Lotus Place tonight. It is Wednesday, December the 7th, 2016, and we are moving swiftly through this month. And I tell you, here in Houston, Texas, it is getting chilly, and you need your little fleece or your blanket, because when it drops below 50 degrees here in Houston, my goodness, it is like totally freezing almost. And we're supposed to get a big freeze tonight. So snuggle up, stay warm, and make you some good soup, like some tomato basil soup or some, what's that? I love that butternut squash soup. That's delicious. But that roasted tomato soup is just to die for, to live for. We want to speak positively.
Yes,
namaste to you, Feather Light.
Namaste. Namaste, Black Rose.
Hey,
how
are
you?
I'm trying to have positive energy.
You what?
I'm trying to have positive energy. Namaste.
Yes.
Namaste.
Yes, and Houston people just freak out. Oh
my God, yes. Super freak out about the rain and the cold, because it is quite odd, though, to have this type of weather here in Houston, because we're so used to burning up and being hot. Ooh, my goodness.
Taking your jacket off.
Oh my God, having your little sweat napkin with you, your little handkerchief. Ooh, goodness gracious.
I walked to the store a couple of days ago, and I took my jacket, and before I could get to the store, I had to take the jacket off and wrap it around my waist. That's just how the weather here is in Houston. And then today,
yes,
it's like 50, so it kind of throws people off.
Up and down to like 44. Ooh, my goodness. Oh my Lord, so I have to put my little socks and put my blanket up and put my socks on my feet and all that. You know, white socks, if you put on, like if you put like shea butter or like mustard oil and shea butter or coconut oil and shea butter on your heels, like all around your feet,
and
put some white socks on, that'll help keep your feet soft.
Soft, yes, I heard that.
And enrich your feet of the callus.
Right. Make it nice and smooth.
And you know how some people
slow.
Count Dracula toes. So, that's a little tip. little tip. Which we'll be giving some more tips tonight too, about and it's going in with our sexual energy segment. We'll talk more about that later. But let me speak to Scotty and everyone that's tuned in to the Lotus Place Radio. Welcome in. Hey, Scotty, how are you?
Good evening, ladies.
You there. Hope you're
namaste,
well.
Namaste, Scotty.
Yes, namaste, namaste.
Namaste.
And so tonight, are you there, Scotty?
Yes, namaste.
Yes, namaste. I can see you and you're looking good. Namaste to you. So, all is well? All is well with everyone?
As well as can be expected under terroristic slavery-like conditions.
You got that right, Scotty.
I know that's right. I love it when he says it.
I couldn't have put it better.
That's amazing, just so I can hear him say it.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Because, you know what? I'll get started in the terrorist.
We could be doing so much better.
Oh, my God. The terrorist.
We're not for that.
Yeah, the terrorist conditions is exactly something that we will touch on tonight. And tonight we're also talking about knowing yourself, know thyself. We always hear that. It's like an ancient word to the wise, or one of the words of wisdom or statements of wisdom. Know thyself. So what does that really mean, though? Know thyself. What does that mean? Knowing about you, knowing what your heritage. Let's talk a little bit about knowing thyself. And that'll be an ongoing topic too, knowing thyself. And I think it ties in with the topic when we spoke about who we are and who we are not. Like, who are we really? What is our culture? Who are we? What is your purpose? Why are you here? What are you doing? So, and I think that's really something that we don't really, some of us don't grow up thinking about or meditating on. We think about finishing school and getting a good job. That's what our parents told us. Used to be go work for the city, go work for the state or something like that. But, I mean.
Get your material things.
Yeah, house with a picket fence, a dog,
nice
cat,
car.
Have some children, married before 30. Things like that.
Yeah.
So, who are you? Is that what your life is? Are you in a rut? Are you going through the loop? Are you constantly going through the same loop because you have yet to figure out who you are, or you're running from who you really are? Are you hiding?
Really?
Are you hiding something? You're hiding something. I know you're hiding something. Just let it out in 2017. Let it all out. Prepare yourself now to let it all out. And we are also proposing this challenge, a 7-day challenge. And we'll talk about that also. So if people want to join us on the 7-day no meat challenge, meditation, basically cleansing our bodies for the winter solstice so that you can have a most beautiful and prosperous 2017. So that's one of the best ways to go into another season, is by cleansing your body. And we want to propose that to everyone to join us with that. And I think it'll be great, don't you, Featherlight? If we have more people.
I think it would be excellent to start a new year with a new you. A lot of times we strive to be somebody or to be this or to be that, when actually we should just relax and just be who we are. You know, just be. So
be you. Just be you. Just do you, be you.
Nobody could do it better. Nobody could do it better. So just be yourself. And so to do that, just start with a clean body. Detox.
Detox.
Just like when you take your car to, you know, you got a real nice car, you got a Cadillac, you got, you know, Lamborghini, whatever. Periodically, you've got to clean out that engine. You've got to start fresh if you want it to last. You know, we've got a lot of gook, you know, all clogged up. So this would be a good way to cleanse that out. Detox. That's the way to do it.
Get out and let it flow so that you can feel better and be a better person, think better, move better. All things just better, better, better.
Just fantastic. Yeah, your energy will flow better.
Your energy will flow better. Your cognitive skills will improve. Well, you know what? What we really want is for people to just share with us how they were able to some of their strategies that they used in order to meet this challenge, and how was it like journaled each day. So we'll talk about that, because we have until December 21st, that's winter solstice. So start getting ready. If you feel like you want some cinnamon rolls or cheeseburger or some things like that, to go ahead on and get your little cravings out of the way, go ahead on and do that so that you won't think about those items while you're fasting. So all right, we'll remind everyone about that. So tonight we're also honoring Fred Hampton. December 4th was the day that Fred Hampton was assassinated by the gangster Chicago PD. So we're honoring Fred Hampton. I just always have to honor Chairman Fred Hampton. Excuse me, Chairman Fred Hampton. Please forgive me. And what happened to Joe McKnight? This story, I remember seeing it like pop up on my phone feed, news feed, and I was like, God, these people, they're just really going crazy, just crazy, crazier than they were crazy. And I recall seeing some of the clips, and then I heard that the person that murdered this man in broad daylight was actually released. So it's like they just questioned, the cops just questioned this man, and they wanted to just deliver their own ruling. Well, he's going to get off on stand your ground law. I mean, wait a minute now, you want to be judge, jury, and executioner? Like I'd be waiting to say, wait a minute, you not the damn lawyer, little slave catcher, sit your ass down somewhere, excuse me. you have not been to nobody's law school to be trying to just automatically take this man to court, and everything by him sitting in the damn jails probably look like what's Andy Griffin and what's the man named Barney? What was that show? Andy Griffin, the Andy Griffin show, was that it? The little jail.
Yeah, Andy Griffin
probably
show.
Took him somewhere like that, where he's just sitting up there like Otis.
It holds on to two people.
Right, and so then you just let him go. So
right.
These people, they just, oh my God, I couldn't believe it.
They were buddies. They were buddies, you know, he's a former police officer. They were all buddies.
Man, and they all worked together. They all worked together, and these people are just straight up running slave catching so-called slash departments, and that's all it is, chasing people down. And so we want to really talk about this Joe McKnight story, if you have some thoughts on that. So I do want to go through that story, and we have some clips on Joe McKnight and what happened, being gunned down in the middle of the street, and then the damn police chief trying to tell everybody initially, don't believe your lying eyes, believe what I said, because this white man told me what happened, so I don't care about what all of you saw. Forget your story. Your story doesn't count. I'm going to believe what he said. And
back in 1800s.
Right. And I'm so glad that those people did not just sit down and accept that. So there were like rallies, marches, people organized around this whole killing of this young man. He was an ex-NFL player for the New York Jets. And just shot down, life taken away. Just like Fred Hampton. 21 years of age, assassinated. So this continues to happen from 1969 to 2016 going into 2017 with this black president. I mean, goodness gracious. Lord have mercy. So we also want to touch on, in addition to who we are, overcoming a colonized mind. I hear people talk about the colonized mind of course, study colonialism and the effects on the people. And I tell you, I still see some of the residual effects of enslavement, and of not just enslavement, but mistreatment, being terrorized, people trying to adjust, as we discussed previously. And you just come across so many people that really still have a colonized mind. And I hope that I'm not, and if I am, please share your thoughts. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm making an observation. So
exactly.
Yeah, to me it's exactly. An observation. But if you feel like I'm being critical, maybe I am, and maybe I should be. So talk more about that as well. And also reflections on the Montgomery bus boycott, anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott, December 1st. And so we'll talk about that also. Some reflections. Your thoughts on the Montgomery bus boycott, if you have some thoughts. I know for years we were misled to believe that these people just all of a sudden said, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I'm tired. I don't want to sit on the back of the bus. We're going to start this movement and just boycott. But again, our history is always hidden from us. There's always been this strategy to hide our history from us and tell us half-truths or untruths. And to find out after years of reading about the being taught about the Montgomery bus boycott in school, until I, of course, conducted my own research and became older and talked to people and watched documentaries. This was a highly organized movement. And so this was not just some whim. Oh, I'm tired, I don't feel like sitting on the back of the bus, said Rosa Parks. This was very organized. So we'll have some
strategies.
Definitely strategize, and people had to unite in order for it to be effective. And I know some people have different thoughts on how some other actions that could have been incorporated in the Montgomery bus boycott, but nevertheless, for people to organize and work together on that scale, I think was magnificent. So
I agree.
We have some questions on the table also, and white-itis. I want to talk about white-itis along with that colonized mind and your game changer and feather light with some mind, body, and spirit. And it's going to be a beautiful night, and we hope that you stay tuned to join us here at the Lotus Place radio show. You know what, Feather? Last week's show, if people missed it, Elder Abuse was a very, very informative piece. And it was just the beginning of our abuse show series. That was part one aired last week. And you shared some really significant signs that we should pay attention to in terms of our elders. If you have an elder friend, or you know someone that's bedridden or immobilized in some way, elder abuse is very real, and it comes in so many forms, as well as abuse, how the many forms that we will discuss, not just like relationship abuse when you think of male on female, but we also want to discuss like friendship abuse, coworker abuse, the different types of abuse. There's just a myriad of abusive relationships that we sometimes may not even consider as much. It's just like male on female. So speaking on that elder abuse, could you just share like some of the signs that you discussed? Of sure. Something that we could pay attention to.
Okay. I mentioned last week that there are different types of abuse, abuse to our elders. Physical abuse, of course, we're all aware of, but there are different types of abuse. There's physical, emotional, economical, and the list goes on. So I wanted to give just a few tips or red flags to look for to monitor what's going on in the case of physical abuse, that there are bruises or grips around the neck or on the arms, or if the elder has a dismissive attitude about a bruise, or they become they have a lack of interest in things that they used to like to do, or they suddenly become they're not as talkative. They don't want to talk. They don't communicate with you. They're unresponsive. There's something going on with the elder, or they do not want to go to the same emergency room as they went to before, because, as you know, the nurses are trained to look for certain things. This is a sign that there's something going on. There's abuse going on, and as I said, there are different types of abuse. You know, you have the financial abuse. You have maybe if there's large sums of money withdrawn, and the elder cannot explain, then someone is abusing their finances. Also, there's a neglect. If your elder does not seem to be taken care of, so forth, having clean clothes on every time you visit, or when you do get ready to visit, the caretaker will not let you see them. They will say things like they're asleep or they're not feeling well, they don't want to see anyone today. Check it out. Those are warning signs.
Warning signs.
Yes.
Yes. If you're unable to see that person, or like you said, there's some type of alter in their behavior, then definitely question and maybe sit with them alone so that you can try to see if they would open up and share, investigate.
Right.
Conduct some type of investigation. Definitely. So that
and
was
take
a great
them,
show.
Take them away. See if you can take them away, like for lunch or something, out away from that person, the caregiver.
Mm-hmm. In some kind of way. Absolutely.
Yeah. If
thank you so much. So people can listen to that show on Black Talk Radio Network webpage. And you should always go onto that webpage because you can check out some of the previous shows, not only from here at the Lotus Place, but also some of the other shows like the Code Breakers and the Cobra and Abolitionist Radio, Tanya Free, so many shows, Time for Awakening with Elliot Booker. So tune in to Black Talk Radio. Like yesterday, I tell you, I was shampooing the carpets and I just like turned on Black Talk Radio and had my phone and my headphones on and just walking around, just shampooing the carpet. And so I had an opportunity to listen to some really great dialogue, and you should too. Take advantage of Black Talk Radio Network. Support Black Talk Radio Network by going onto the webpage, and you can donate. Get your Black Talk Radio Matters t-shirt. Sign up for the Black Talk Radio Experience. It's like a black social webpage media, social media. If you like Facebook, you'll love Black Talk Radio.
You'll love it. You'll love it.
I tell you, we have groups forming, and if people are always saying that we just need to connect and this magical uniting will happen, which I don't really know, but I mean, definitely you cannot unite with some people, whereas you feel that you can have some conversations that interest you, not just the Facebook drama and oh my God, I'm so sick of Facebook.
With what all you that had nonsense. For Thanksgiving dinner?
I don't care what you had for Thanksgiving dinner. I don't care what you're cooking today on Wednesday either. And I don't care about the two of you arguing about whatever. So, but anyway, I mean, Facebook is cool for what it is. I'm not trying to crap on Facebook. It's cool. But BTR, I love BTR, founded by Scotty Reed. Yours truly, Scotty Reed. Yay. Clap, clap.
That was wonderful. And great idea. Great
brilliant.
Concept. I'm so happy.
Brilliant. 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 Because people were like, man, we need another like social media for Black people that are in this certain group that enjoy this type of information and sharing this type of information. And you just want to be what people say. And I hate to say it because it does sound so trite, but like people of like minds. But I guess people of like minds, people that have similar interests as you. So you definitely.
It's the law of attraction. It's the law of attraction.
The law of attraction. Yeah. Gravitating to the right vibration or the right frequencies in people.
Yeah.
You can say that, right? Okay.
Right. With vibrations that resonate with you.
That's it. See, that's that mind, body, and spirit feather light. You go. You better say that. You better say that.
Vibrations that resonate with you.
Vibrations that resonate with you is what you can find at BTR. So you should go on to Black Talk Radio Network webpage. Scroll all the way down to the right-hand side. You'll see the large B. Click on that, and bam, you're in. And you want to be in the red pill or the blue pill? Which one shall it be? Okay, let me give this day in history. This day in history on December 7th, 1942, Reginald F. Lewis was born. It's his born day. A renowned Black businessman. Reginald F. Lewis was one of the most successful African-American businessman of the 20th century and the first Black businessman to purchase a company for $1 billion in this billion with a B as in boy, as in bank. In 1992, Forbes listed Lewis as one of the 400 richest Americans with a net worth of $400 million. He was born in Baltimore. And let's see, he graduated from Harvard Law School in 1968, and he went on to become this super great businessman, and so we just want to share that today in history piece, Mr. Reginald.
That was great.
Lewis.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Right, he just, you know what, and he died at the age of 50. From brain cancer. Young, just like Johnny Cochran when he died from brain cancer. And I'm saying brain cancer. And also, I just want to share this little tidbit too, this day in history. Although this happened on December 6th, I thought that this was significant enough to mention since we're not airing on December 6th. We're here Wednesday nights, every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Central. 10 p.m. Eastern, here at the Lotus Place on Black Talk Radio Network. But on December 6th, 1932, Richard B. Spikes patented the automatic gear shift. And you know the automatic gear shift is used in multiple ways. It's been altered to be useful in so many of the items that we use. Mechanical items, probably something to do with the sewing machine. Right, patents the automatic gear shift. And so that just pretty much revolutionized us. And you have some of these people say that we can't do anything and we need to go back to Africa and we can't learn. And our children.
Really?
Pardon me?
Where would they be?
Right, and our children are afraid to tackle math because they're always told that they can't, and you have to try harder, and you have to, what is it? You have to try twice as hard. We should not keep telling our children that, because we're already sending them into the world feeling like they're handicapped. So they are not handicapped. So they just have to be the best that they can be always. And what does that be? Impeccable with your word. Like what, the four agreements?
Impeccable with the four agreements. Yeah.
Be impeccable with your word. Do your best. So.
Don't take things personal. That's one of the four agreements.
That's it. Four agreements. That's it. And you know what? Let's take a break and then we'll come back. And if Scott could play that first Fred Hampton clip for us, I think that'll be great. And come back from break, we'll listen to Fred Hampton and Featherlight. I want to hear your review. You have a film review for us. And I have a couple of topics I'd like to touch on as well. But we'll take a break, and then we'll hear from you also with your creation story and get into some more of our topics for tonight. You're tuned in to The Lotus Place. We'll be right back after this break.
Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Bobby Seale is going through all types of physical and mental torture. But that's all right, because we said even before this happened, and we're going to say it after this, and after I'm locked up, and after everybody's locked up, that you can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution. Right. You might run a liberator like Eric Cleave out the country, but you can't run liberation out the country. You might murder a freedom fighter like Bobby Hutton, but you can't murder freedom fighting. And if you do, you come up with answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain. You come up with conclusions that don't conclude. And you come up with people that you thought should be acting like pigs, that's acting like people and moving on pigs. And that's what we've got to do. So we're going to see about Bobby, regardless of what these people think we should do. Because school is not important and work is not important. Nothing's more important than stopping fascism, because fascism will stop us all.
All right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place. All right. That was Chairman Fred Hampton, young, brilliant chairman.
Oh, he was so brilliant.
Oh, my goodness. So on December 4th, that was the day that Chairman Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were assassinated. They were attacked by the Chicago PD. So we're going to talk about Fred Hampton. I remember, just briefly, I remember watching this video documentary on the death of Fred Hampton, assassination of Fred Hampton, and how the police department lied about the Panthers shooting at them from inside. And when it was actually investigated, because the Panthers invited the community in to come and see how there were like 90 something bullet holes, probably like 100 bullets fired from Chicago Police Department into the home. And Chairman Fred Hampton was drugged, and he was in bed asleep from being drugged with his pregnant wife. And these crazy, demonic people raided this house before daybreak and killed this young man who was only doing good for the community, empowering the community in so many ways. But like you said, you can kill the revolutionary, but you cannot kill the revolution. So we want to honor Fred Hampton, Chairman Fred Hampton, in Chicago. And, you know, Colin Kaepernick kneeled again at this last football game. And he said he was kneeling. Of course, he's been kneeling in protest of the national anthem. But he said being in Chicago on that day, it was only appropriate to honor Fred Hampton. So I'm like, all right then, Colin, you better go.
All right. He's been doing some studying.
Yes, Colin Kaepernick. All right. Hey, give us your film review. What are you sharing with us tonight?
Okay. All right. So, Westworld. Westworld. We talked a little bit. Just, we touched on it. Ross had called in and it was brought up. And so I just, it's over. So I just kind of wanted to give my kind of little, not spill on it, but just kind of give you what it was about, okay? It was a Western thriller, first of all, shot in the West. And you had these rich vacationers. They would come to this place where all the people, and they're called hosts, and they look and act like real people. But they're actually well-programmed robots. They kiss, they make love, you know, they have little feelings, if they're programmed to do so. Whatever you please, whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with them. You can smack them around, you know, rape them. They have certain people that's what you do, you know. They look pretty, and you rape them. And you could shoot them and kill them. You could take photos with them, you know, after you've killed them. It's really a place where people just go, and it's whatever you could imagine, that's what happened. And so these robots, each one of them is programmed to do certain things, to be a certain way, to have a certain amount of intellect, or what have you. The call girls, they're programmed to turn the guy on, and so forth. And so what happens that really kind of, and they cannot, this is really good, they cannot harm the vacationers. They cannot kill them. They're not equipped to do harm to the vacationers or to the people who created them. And they actually think that they're people. They really do. And when they get killed, they just get hauled off. You know, they just come after the, you know, haul them off. And the special ones, they make them over again. They just, you know, patch up the wounds and sew up the bloody bodies. And you
they
put
just
them
recycle
out on
them back into the whole loop.
Back into loop. It's a loop. Mm-hmm. And they keep living these lives over and over again, not realizing that somebody is programming them and telling them what to think. And it is just really amazing until there's a glitch. A glitch happens in somebody's program, and they begin to realize something is wrong with this world. They did not realize that somebody was controlling their minds, but then somebody begins to realize that, hey, didn't I used to have a child? Where is that child? Why am I a call girl right now? And I remember this so vividly, and it would be in a dream, but they really weren't supposed to be equipped to dream. So it's Thandie Newton is the person that is playing the role of the person that begins to wake up.
Wake up. I love her character. Mom.
Yes, yes. You're living in a mirage, you know. And Anthony Hopkins is the person who creates all these supposedly human people. And they're not human. But they
and Bernard Wright. Bernard Wright's character. Not Bernard Wright,
yeah.
Jeffrey Wright, whose character is Bernard. Look, I'm calling him
right.
Bernard, honey. I think I may remember him.
Bernard.
Bernard.
Somebody calls him Bernard.
Bernard. Oh my gosh, yes, Westworld. Quite intriguing.
And Benaz's character, he's over all these robots. He helps make them, but he doesn't realize that he's just like they are.
He programs them.
Yes, he programs them.
He programs them. And because they have the designers that put the bones together and use the what is it, the digital print? What do you call? I can't think of what you call 3D printer to design the bodies and construct them. And Bernard programs them. Bernard, who turns out to be Arnold, and so this is a major twist. Oh my goodness! Well, if you have not completed the series, then I just gave the spoiler, but I mean, I've had to go back and kind of check out a few of those episodes.
Yes, you'll want to go back and watch it again anyway.
Oh, goodness gracious, indeed, yes. And so, your thoughts on Westworld?
My thoughts on Westworld is when Sunday begins to wake up, she realizes that she can create her own world just by her thoughts, and that's what we're saying a lot on the show. You can create your own reality. You create your own reality by your thoughts, your perceptions, how you view the world. That's how the world is to you, and what you concentrate on, that is what you draw to you, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Thunde starts to say things like, those two sheriffs are going to just draw the guns on each other instead of shooting other people. And they do that, you know. And it's just amazing to think that through our thoughts, we create what we see. You know, we create our experiences.
We create our own world.
Yes.
We create our own destiny.
Right.
We are the authors of our own script, our own lives. Nobody else is in control of that. Nobody should be in control of your life, your day-to-day activities. You should be in control.
Right. Oh, here's one instance. It was at the very beginning of the show. When this newcomer comes, there's one vacationer, he's been there before, but he brings his brother, his future brother-in-law, who is sort of very reserved. And as they approach the saloon, someone falls in front of them, the horse is about to run over them, and then they reach up to him, and he says, "Help me," or he starts to help the guy, and he said, "No, he's trying to pull you into his fantasy, into his world, into what's going on with him," and that could have led to pick him up, and then later on he sees you, and then he says, "Hey, you're the one that saved me. Let me buy you a drink. Let me tell you about my wife. Let me tell you about my life," and you get wrapped up in their world.
I thought about that. Mm-hmm.
How, who you let into your world, and you become a part of their script.
Yes,
a part of their script, and we find ourselves becoming a part of other people's script,
being wrapped up into their world all the time in so many ways.
Yes,
we're helping other either wrapped up in their script in some kind of way, either by helping them achieve whatever their goals are, not focusing on our goals, or giving them all kinds of energy and still not knowing yourself, putting time back into yourself, working on your self-improvement, tending to your own garden, because you're so busy trying to water and flower and fertilize and maintain someone else's garden and dream and life.
Right. You become an extra in their play,
You're not even starring in your own Broadway show. It's supposed to be your show. And now you sitting up, you're caught up in somebody else's show, playing an extra in their show, and you're wondering why you keep going through the same old loop, same old thing, because you're just an extra in somebody else's show. Then you caught up in their world. Riding somebody else's Ferris wheel.
While yours gets rusty.
Yes. Right, and that's something that I've been thinking about, and then seeing Westworld, that was like the confirmation of it all. I said, "That's it, exactly. That's part of what I learned from watching that. Just being able to really, really take control more so of your own script. Really, just really writing your own. Just say it. And we know these things. We know these deep down inside. We know these things." We've acted on this innate power that we have to just really be able to say, this is going. How many times have you set out and said, this is going to happen, and then you make it happen? I know I've experienced that. And when I do, when I say with confirmation and determination, it happens.
Yes.
It happens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about a story that happened with me on that note. Okay, I had my little dog, Abby, and then I had another dog, Ginger, which is much bigger. We were getting onto the elevator, leaving my mom's apartment, high rise, so we had to take the elevator opens, and Ginger and I get on quickly. But Abby, being so little, she's a Pomeranian, being so little, she was a little bit left behind, even though I had her leash. And the elevator door started to close, and she was still on the other side. And it freaked me out, because all I could think about was her being choked as the elevator door closed. So I didn't have enough time to reach out. Let me see, how was this? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I know what. She was in the elevator, but her leash was still on the other side. That's what it was. Her leash was still on the other side, which meant that once the elevator door closed, then it would pull her neck, right? This was a horrible thought. And I couldn't get the leash off in time. And, of course, you know, reaching for the button was out of the question. So what I thought in my mind was, I've got to break this leash. And you know what a leash is made out of. I didn't have one of those El Cheapo leashes. I had the sturdy kind with the ridges. And before the elevator door closed, I took that leash and I broke it in half. And it closed. I was amazed. I was more grateful that I was able to do it. But later on, I thought, wait a minute. That was kind of strong. That was, how did that happen? But it snapped. It broke. Because I willed it so strongly that I didn't want this to happen to my dog. And so I broke it.
And you broke it.
Yeah. I should have kept it, but
we just have to be determined. And I believe that plays into knowing who you are, knowing your power, understanding the power that we have.
Yeah. I sent the energy there. I sent the energy to my hand. I sure did. Mm.
You sent the energy. Exactly. So, Queen Sugar, you have any thoughts on Queen Sugar?
Well, Queen Sugar is a story of, it's set in New Orleans. Oh, so much fun. Two sisters and a brother. They have to deal with their personal issues, which each one of them has their own lives, they're grown. And they deal with their personal issues while they're trying to save 800 acres, I think it's 800 acres of land that their father has left to them. Their father dies in the first season. First couple of episodes, and Turban is his name. Oh, he's one of my favorite actors. So they're trying to save the land, and they find out that the land is smack dab in the middle of white owners who actually murdered, hung their forefathers trying to get the land back, because their forefathers bought the land from these owners when they were on hard times. And so they were trying to constantly get it back, and they killed a lot of their family members trying to get the land back. So these three siblings have to try to figure out how they're going to keep the land and keep their lives, their personal lives, together. And they discover a lot of things about themselves. And I like the sisterhood, the brotherhood. I like the family of them coming together to make tough decisions. And it's really a very good storyline, because each family member, the sisters and the brother, they have very interesting lives on the side. They're very interesting plots. Very, very, and they're very good actors. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased with
the younger brother. I've never seen him before, but he's very good.
The younger brother, oh my God, I guess he's from Ghana, and he has two younger brothers that are thespians as well. But I said, well,
oh,
that's
really?
A nice little chocolate drop there. He's very handsome. I think his name is something like Kofi something. But I love films that are filmed in like New Orleans and New York. I just always have some kind of feeling watching something filmed in either one of those cities. They're so electric to me. I love New Orleans. New Orleans, rather, like they say in New Orleans.
It's like you're actually there, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love to see the whipping willow trees. I love to see the whipping willow trees, the swamps, the colorful character of the rooms, just the laid back feeling that the people have living in the bayou. So it's just so beautiful. And that's one reason why I love being here in Houston, so close to New Orleans. But now Houston and Texas, oh boy, something else. But anyway, so you want to share a creation story also with us, and I want to get into some of these topics on these mistrials these people having, just don't want to convict anybody, and also what happened to Joe McKnight. So let's talk about this creation story, Featherlight.
Okay, so this is about It's Within. It's called It Is Within. So there are over 200 creation stories, okay, all over the world by different cultures. It's not just the Adam and Eve story that most African Americans have been told. The fossils and bones of the African woman found in Ethiopia, pen named Lucy, was found in 1974, in November of 1974, and it shows that she walked the earth 3.2 million years ago. And since Lucy was found back in 74, scientists have found evidence of even older earthlings dating back as 7 million years ago. So, someone was here before Adam and Eve. The Adam and Eve story is like 2,000 years old. So, my point is that there are more creation stories out there than the Adam and Eve story. And some people just don't want to let go of that, but fact is fact. And some people only believe something unless it's told by a European, a white person.
Oh my goodness, that's that white-itis.
Yes, they feel white people's water is colder, and what comes out of their mouth is gospel. And so these people don't believe something unless somebody white said it. Well, guess what? These scientists, researchers, and archaeologists were all European. Okay, so they had to put their pull feelings aside and just admit, I mean, fact is fact, and to them, science is science. It is found in Ethiopia, which is in what we call today Africa. So don't deny your past and who you are. With that said, this is the story of when the Creator was talking to the creatures about the humans. And the Creator said, they're going to need help as they will face many crises while on Earth. They won't remember on their own where to find the guidance and protection they need to live a fruitful life. But I don't want to make it too easy for them, because then they will not learn what they need to learn during their experience here. So he asked the creatures, where can I hide it? All the creatures had different answers, but none seemed suitable. The dolphin and other sea creatures said, hide it in the sea. They'd have to dive deep. No, that won't work. The eagle and some of the birds said, hide it in the clouds. They'd have to soar really high to find it. No, that won't work. And none of these seemed to suit the Creator. Finally, Mother Mole, wise in her age and experience, said, it's simple. Hide it where many will not bother to look. Hide it deep within them. The Creator clapped. That's it. That's where I'll put it. And all the creatures bowed in agreement. Perfect. And it was so. The answers are all within. There's no book greater than the one you possess inside of you. Study it daily. The Bible may tell you how to live using parables, psalms, and stories, but no external book can explain why you do what you do, why you act and feel the way you do, why you seem to have difficulty expressing your sexual desires, why holding on to money eludes you, why you keep choosing partners who make you unhappy, why you care so much about what others think, why you try to please others but end up feeling drained and unfulfilled yourself, why you ache most of the time and the doctor has no answers. Emotional issues can cause physical pain, worrying, unresolved childhood trauma, guilt, anger, jealousy, self-doubt. You have the answers within. You have the most important book in the world right inside you. Whenever you're ready to open it and become a scholar of you, yourself. Namaste.
Namaste, Feather Light. I love that creation story. And you're right,
yes,
there are so many
too.
Creation stories. But I do enjoy that one. It's all in you.
Yeah.
Once again,
we look externally. Mm-hmm. And we should be looking inside.
Look inside. It's always inside of you. And that is one thing I'm always talking about, what I can glean from reading something or viewing something. But we can just take it as simple as The Wizard of Oz. Searching around for some, the film The Wizard of Oz with Dorothy. Searching around for some magical person that's going to help you accomplish whatever feat it is. It is all in you. It's like going to
all the time.
Just believe in yourself. And that's why now I do love The Wiz with Diana Ross and Michael Jackson and Lena Horne, because I love when Lena Horne sings that song, Believe in Yourself. Believe in yourself. Oh, I just love that. Oh, my goodness.
Thank
and when you just
you.
Listen to the
Thank
words
you.
Of that song, but the whole message in that, just not looking for some outside magical, mystical being, because we're magical and mystical. If you just realize that you are
magical and mystical
yourself, exactly, then you don't have to seek for someone else to be that magical person or feel that you need somebody to complete you. You're already
complete.
You're already completed. If somebody tells me
someone else will compliment you.
But I don't need anybody to totally complete me. We should already be complete so we can come together as one, baby. Ow!
Yes.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place. During this break, go on the Black Talk Radio Network for a page and donate to keep these shows streaming to you. Hi.
Tuned in to the Lotus Place Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network.
We're back here at the Lotus Place. I was just over here just bopping. I mean, I'm just loving this music that Scotty is playing for us tonight here at the Lotus Place. Oh my goodness, the Lotus Place is turning into a nightclub. Get down. Thank you, Scotty.
I loved it too.
I know. I was over here like, yeah, hey, throw your hands up in the air. Love it. I love
it. You know
it.
I'm rocking.
Oh, yeah, you know, I love some music. I love to dance, and goodness gracious, I just grew up dancing. But thank you so much for sharing that creation story with us, Feather Light, and
we really
appreciate all of your mind, body, and spirit. And we're going to talk more about some mind, body, and spirit later on before we close out tonight when we get to the sexual energy piece. And that's going to be quite interesting because don't shy away from it. It's a spiritual act and not just a carefree act, and that's what we want to talk about. And also just raising that sexual energy, that kundalini. But before we get to that, we get into something else here. I heard this story about this man finding a noose on the job. And I mentioned this to you, Featherlight, and I said, okay, I heard this man, I heard a clip, or I think I was in a car and it came on one of the news stations, and I said, I'll have to go and check that out and see about that story. Come to find out, guess where this happened?
Where?
Here in darn Houston. I was like, wait a minute now, Houston. You know, I try to put on for you, Houston. I try to brag about how Houston is a little different from the rest of Texas. Try to give these silly folks a little credit. And these idiots, and I know exactly who it is, some of these, I'm trying to be a little more positive and not get so angry. But this man here in Houston, said he found a noose hanging inside of his workplace. His name is Jeremy Molo, and he first noticed it hanging from like a piece of equipment at Atlas Copaco. And so apparently, like, he took a picture of it, and he understands like the historical symbology of the noose. So of course, it was quite difficult for him to see this. He said his grandparents used to talk about lynchings and finding noose. And so he said he complained to a coworker. He was hoping that when he returned from work that he wouldn't see it again. But he returned to work and he saw the noose again. The noose was hanging again. So he spoke with human resources. And, of course, they're just ignoring his complaint. I want to bring up that. I really had to bring this story up because, first of all, this man, he has to come to work and be subjected to this terrorism. And he says that it's really frustrating because probably the same person that hung that noose is looking at him in his face and laughing and smiling.
Yeah.
And so that is terrorism.
It is.
And it's undue stress.
Yeah.
Now, if this man was to have a stroke or just begin to have some type of heart problems or ulcers from worry, an aneurysm from stress because of this terrorism.
Right.
And see, people want to talk about ISIL and Daesh. Somebody blowing up some newspaper place in France and Charlie Hebdo and all this. We have real terrorists going on right here on our very own streets here in this land, in these states, right here. Right here by a group of people that have been terrorizing non-whites for as long as we can remember. As long as any recordings. So, why is it that we still have to continue to be subjected to such terrorism? And you have so many people that will not recognize this as terrorism. And I would say, as part of our strategy, document this. Even if you just write this down in a journal, we should start recording these incidents, compile them for different publications. This could be justification for some type of justice for us, because people should not have to be terrorized like this. This man should not feel fearful on the job while he's going to work. We're still experiencing these things. And I did read this historical piece, and I didn't really want to bring it up, but just in terms of this noose. Also, on this day in history, I can't recall exactly what's... On this day in history, December 7th, 1985, there was a report of, I think it was 75 or 85 people, 75 people, I believe, 75 people in 1885 that were lynched on this one day.
Oh, my God.
And so for this man to find a noose at his place of employment, and we're still going through this, I think it's just horrendous. And our children and grandchildren should not have to endure this. So things have to change, and that's why we have our mind, body, and spirit segment also here at the Lotus Place, because some of the things that we have been doing are not working. So Now it's time to try something different. So live your dreams.
Right.
Whatever it is, we all have a purpose. We have a reason that we're here. And we have to figure that out, and we have to act on that. So I just want to share that story and just relate it to this terrorism and how, once again, white-itis, you have people that don't want to recognize that this is homegrown terrorism, domestic terrorism right here by these KKK people, slave catchers, and the like, vigilantes, like this Gessner man that killed Joe McKnight. Okay? And we shouldn't have to experience that. You cannot just shoot us down in the street like this. You can't just kill us. You can't just beat our children like this. You can't just take our children out of our homes like this. Like we're still in some slave cabin behind the plantation. That's crazy.
Right. Black Rose, may I share?
Well, and just walk.
Sure.
Well, apparently they can. Based on our responses thus far, apparently they can do all those things. And they do.
Because they've been successful. Go ahead, Scotty. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, that's all I wanted to share was apparently they can gun us down in the street and abuse us and throw us into slavery and everything else.
Mm-hmm. And I see that the prison stock has gone back up, Scotty, or has it gone back down since today?
No, they popping champagne corks and partying and probably preparing the party yet. Trump's inaugural ball and what have you. So, yeah, them slavers, right. Them slavers partying right now.
Well,
my goodness. This whole system of slavery and enslavement, and also I think that this is also the this is some celebration of the 13th Amendment, also, which again, if you listen to the abolitionist show, if you're in the right communities and have the proper discussions with people, people are realizing that within their constitution, slavery is legal, and it is a damn shame that people are being enslaved all over again, particularly us. And it used to be a time, we were talking about this also, or I was talking about this with someone. We used to think that prisoners were just there and they're just making license plates and all of this stuff. These companies have people actually enslaved, making everything, booking cruise trips, taking out pizza orders, making Victoria's Secret underwear, just all kinds of jobs, just all kinds of slavery, planting, cropping, agriculture, just everything, making damn everything. And so that's why people are complaining and thinking Donald Trump is going to bring them back their little oil jobs or whatever, their little factory steel mill jobs. It's over, baby. It's a wrap. They have the prisoners doing a lot of this work. Everything from cleaning up the streets, and it's ridiculous. And the food that they feed these prisoners is just inhumane. The treatment is inhumane. And the same old companies own just about every damn thing. The damn GEO company, they privatize everything. That company there is the devil. It's Satan. And so you should not have any.
Every major, just about every major corporation, I won't say all of them, but some of the ones that we deal with on a regular basis, they're part of it.
Yes, and retirement plans are connected to it. So check your retirement plan, too. Let me see. Scotty, dear, I would love for us to be able to play this clip number 2 and number 3 on Joe McKnight. So this is a clip from the fatal incident that Joe McKnight was involved in with this crazy-ass terrorist, calling him what he is a terrorist, because not only had he terrorized and killed Joe McKnight, ex-NFL player for the Jets, just driving along in some suburb of Louisiana, and this crazy man at this intersection wants to engage him so that he can kill him. I believe this was like really premeditated, because this terrorist had actually had a previous incident apparently at the same intersection with someone else. So this is repetitive behavior, which is also indicative of his mental state. And the story goes,
premeditated.
Yes. And so he killed this innocent man after Joe McKnight, according to witnesses, was actually trying to apologize because they had some type of incident where somebody pulled in front of somebody or something like that, what they do every day here in Houston. And so this man, this terrorist, decides he wants to, again, just shoot and kill this young black man. And that's what he does. He unloads in Joe McKnight. And some of the witnesses initially stated that the man got out of the car and came in front of the front windshield, fired into the car, and I guess Joe McKnight's body fell out of the car, because some witnesses say that he stood over his body and then shot him in the head. a kill shot. So for you to let him go, because you had time, first of all, you had time to think about all of that, getting out of your car, getting your gun, going to shoot, and then standing over somebody. And so for him to initially have been released by the sheriff, who wants to be judge, jury, and executioner and everything else, and big man on campus and all of this, you're not a lawyer. You had no right to say that this man can get off on stand your ground. When did you go to law school and what law school? And when did you pass the bar and become a lawyer for anybody? Stay in your lane. Arrest.
Stay in your lane.
Right, so anyway, thankfully, the people united and the coalesce and organized and were able to force the sheriff to listen to the witnesses' accounts, because he had a press conference saying, don't believe your lying eyes, don't believe what everybody else is saying, this is what happened. White man told us this will happen. We believe it. So we're going to let him go home. But the people there said, hell no. Thank goodness. Because this is not an isolated incident. So this has been happening. So, you know, I can go on and on. Let's just listen to a couple of the clips on Joe McKnight. If we could, Scotty, please.
Despite being released from custody after admitting to killing former NFLer Joe McKnight in a road rage incident, Ronald Gasser has finally been arrested and charged with manslaughter. Gasser was arrested Monday on one count of manslaughter per Louisiana's Jefferson Parish County records. And this isn't the first road rage incident to land Gasser in trouble. He was cited in 2006 for reportedly getting into a verbal confrontation with a man before physically assaulting him. At the same intersection, Gasser would later shoot and kill McKnight. In a press conference Tuesday, Parish County officials said witnesses were key in charging Gasser in this case, and that Gasser's arrest was partially delayed due to tracking down these witnesses.
Okay, so that was one of the clips from Joe McKnight, and from the fatal killing of Joe McKnight. And Scotty, can we just
I'm sorry, could you not hear that clip of the NAACP? I was playing it, but it wasn't really registering on the audio meter, so I don't know what's going on with that clip there. But the NAACP issued a statement. I'm sorry, I was muted on the board, but the listening audience did hear that first clip of that you shared. Yeah, I had to unmute myself.
Let me see
if this plays again. Hold on.
Okay, I did hear the first one. So that's cool.
Yeah, that NAACP clip is weird. I mean, I can hear it clearly, but it's not registering on my software, so I don't know what's going on there. Sorry.
Well, no problem. Because basically with this story, the NAACP had a press conference, and I did read that the NAACP actually organized a march and rally also, which seems like it forced the sheriff's hand to go ahead on and actually file manslaughter charges on this terrorist. Let me bring in Delta, because I'm sure Delta has something to say on this. This is kind of close to you, because you're down there in Moss Point area, the Gulf, right down the road from New Orleans, because I always stop in New Orleans when I leave from visiting you, Delta.
Yes, how everybody doing tonight? And that particular town where that happened at, that town is known. It is known. It's a proven fact that the police sheriff that they had, that the one that, not this one right here, the one before that one, he's retired now. He deliberately designed and told them to go out and stop black boys and stopped the black boys that had the painted up cars and the rims and things on the cars. So mm-hmm. They have a history of doing mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. So this is not new. And then what makes it so bad is the sheriff get on TV, and he gets on there. You could see the racism in him mm-hmm. just with his speech that he gave. This particular town is known for racism in New up in that Jefferson Parish place. Yes, they is known for yes. it. They is good for it. Mm-hmm. You black folks can't even hardly ride through there. Mm. If you ride through there, they're gonna pull you over.
Oh, and so it's like Ferguson.
Got another one named Henry mm. Lee, and I know everybody heard of Henry Lee. If you had pulled him up, he was a nightmare. And he was a Vietnamese man. He tortured blacks. He tortured them down there.
He was the sheriff?
He was the sheriff. I mean, he tortured them.
Mm-hmm.
He's known. He have a very, very racist history. And this man,
I've heard of him, Delta.
Because on my local news, because see, we see a lot more on my local news. And mm-hmm. on the local news here, we've seen that the people would not go home. The people went to the sheriff's department and stood outside with the NAACP. It wasn't only just black people, it was white people too. They have stood out there and forced his hand because he was not going to charge him. Then they went and found more witnesses. Then also they had a witness that she said that she was never contacted.
Mm-hmm.
She contacted them from day one and waited for them to call her. They wouldn't call her, so the lady went public and she went to the NAACP to let them know that she gave them her statement.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody called her. So they put her out there, and that forced their hand. That redneck did not want to do nothing.
Of course not. No, because to him, he was actually doing his job. He was assisting him. Just like recall that story, where did this happen? Where the insurance man, the man was like 70-something years of age, and you pay this. It's almost to me like Westworld. These people pay a certain amount of money so you're able to go along and ride along and fulfill your dream of going to shoot down a black man. Just like that. What was that movie that Ice-T starred in? And these white men pay a certain amount of money to go hunt. And they hunt black men. This is what these people are doing. And again, I hope that people begin to realize this. This is their practice. This is what they've always done. And what are we going to do about it?
You absolutely correct. And I remember that movie too. And I also want to go back to this too. The man he had another incident on the local. They showed this on our local news.
Mm-hmm.
The man that he had the first incident with 2 years ago, the man contacted them when they found out the older white guy, when he found out it was the same gentleman, he contacted the police. He told the police that he cut him off, you know, by accident. That man said that he ran him down too. And the man said he stopped him. He pursued the man. He pursued this man and hemmed this man up and made this man stop. And when the man stopped, the man got out of his car. He told the man he was going to kill him, and he took the man and punched him in the face. And it's the same thing that he did to this guy, Joe McKnight. After they cut each other off, the black boy was going on Joe McKnight about his business. But this man pursued him. This white man pursued him. The witness say he pursued this young man.
This was murder, in my opinion. Listen, I have been in a situation similar to this, except for I was the person chasing the people down. There's this intersection when you get off the highway, this particular street in Charlotte, and they had these bushes, and you can't look to your left. It's hard to see the oncoming traffic. So I inched out there. I was in my Camaro that I had at the time. So I tried to shoot across the intersection. So this lady, she saw me. She had time to just switch over to the next lane, but she panicked and she swerved right into me and hit me. And I ran all up on the curb and almost hit the telephone pole. And so then she took off, and it was a guy in the car with her. So I back up off the curb, and then I see they taking off. So I'm in a Camaro. I'm chasing them down. I chase them down, and I get the license plate, and then I stopped. Because what was I going to do? You know what I'm saying? What was I going to do? I was thinking to myself, Scotty, just get the doggone license plate. Then you can report it.
Exactly.
And then, you know, and the insurance to handle it. Because if you chase them down and confront them, you don't know what they might have, or you might be put in a position where you had to kill somebody, then you in prison, you know, because you chased them down. So that's why I'm saying this is murder. He made
yes, it is.
Yes, this is murder. He made a conscious decision. This wasn't no heat of the moment. Because as I was chasing these people, I had time to think about the situation and the different outcomes, and I chose to stop after I got the license plate.
And that was the best thing to do.
And you're absolutely correct, Scotty. That is the way to do it.
Yeah, he purposely chased him down. To me, it's totally premeditated. There's a history of this type of behavior. And this man is neurotic and psychotic. And he needs to be charged.
And he told the sheriff that he feared for his life. How can you fear for your life when you're chasing someone? Please.
And then, you know, another point I want to make with this whole particular case, too, and then I think we have a clip on this. We have another Joe McKnight press conference clip that we make and play, Scotty. That clip number 4, if we make and see if that one will play. But notice the similarities in this case and so many others. Remember Mike Brown, all of those witnesses, and I went on Canfield Street right there where Mike Brown was killed. On Canfield Street, all of those witnesses right there in those apartments, plenty of people were able to witness it. Not only the people that lived over there, remember the workers, the construction workers. They mentioned that they saw Mike Brown raise his hands up and Dorian Johnson. And then all of a sudden there are these stories of no, he didn't, and all of this. And it's all based on the police officer Wilson, the slave catcher Wilson's account. And no, we don't believe what all you other people said, all you other black people, your workers. We don't believe nothing you said. 20 people, 30 people, we don't believe you believe. We believe his one white story.
Exactly.
And so this is exactly what this same damn terrorist attempted to do. And thank goodness those people stood up because they said they're tired. And I keep saying that I believe people are really waking up and getting tired. Well, just getting tired and realizing you have to fight back. We have to do something different because what we've been doing is not working. It's not working. So do we have that clip, that number 4 clip, Scotty, on Joe McKnight?
Yes, let me see if y'all can hear this.
Okay.
During a news conference Tuesday, Sheriff Newell Norman outlined the department's decision to arrest and charge Ronald Gasser 5 days after he admitted to shooting and killing Joe McKnight. Norman said it all started after McKnight and Gasser got into an argument during a road rage incident in Tarrytown.
Involved in verbal altercations down Berman Highway, on each other's tail, cutting in front of one another, zipping around vehicles. During that verbal altercation, Mr. Gasser pulls his weapon from between his seat and the console and fires 3 shots at Joe McKnight. killing him.
Norman says after 10-plus hours of questioning, Gasser told investigators he felt threatened by McKnight.
McKnight did, in fact, have a gun in his car. We have no evidence to suggest that he insinuated at any point in time during the altercation that he did.
Norman revealed that both the gun and the car belonged to McKnight's stepfather.
Okay, so again, terrorism on the streets. This domestic terrorism that we're faced with, and we should not. This man here in Houston finding nooses hanging. Just God knows what that would feel like having to see that at work and or anywhere. And you have to live with that. You have to be faced with that. And even when he went to the Human Resource Department a week later, there is no action. And then here we have this young man and several other young men, but this is just the most recent. This is another case of similar to what's the other idiot, George Zimmerman. You just want to chase black people down and kill them. And then we're supposed to be okay with that.
But you know what? I must say this, Texas girl. If they chase my papa down, they would never chase again because they'll be pushing up days. And my papa is one of them kind where he will absolutely kill them. And we are, when we ride, and that's why you have, and I'm saying this, the radio audience really need to listen. Everybody just about now is carrying a weapon. Just about everybody. You cannot run up to cars anymore and run up to people. Everybody just about is carrying a weapon. You got, and my state just passed this. We have a opening carry law here in Mississippi. We just passed it. You can put it on your side. I can holster it on my side. I can go all up in the store, but now I must back up. If a store having a sign on their door telling me that I can't do it, I can't do it. But if that sign is not there, I can take my gun and put it on my side and go anywhere.
Well, I remember at one time you said that there some people were pushing for a law where you could bring your gun into church. Did that ever pass?
That is correct. My church, girl, everybody in the church just about probably got a gun up in their purse.
Well, you should be.
And then we have a man in our church. He's designated to have his gun on him at all times. Church hired him and to bring the gun on him at all times. You have to. Because if they would have had a gun, look how he went up in that church. And if somebody would have had a gun in that church, they would have killed him. And I must back up.
You're speaking about Dylan Ross?
That is correct. So what I'm saying is people are toting guns now. And I'm not saying this to be rude or anything. People, we have to be really careful now. We cannot just run up on people and argue and fuss with people. We got to be very careful now because this is the way it is. We live in a wild, wild west now. The white folks want it open season.
Well, let me ask this question, though. Why are we letting these white folks run up on us? That white man Glasser should have never made it out that intersection alive if we all armed like that. Because he could have easily just turned the gun on other folks. Okay?
And so
Mr. McKnight, they're saying that he was armed. And instead of trying to apologize to this cracker that's done chased me down, perhaps I ought to be prepared to defend myself and get off the first shots.
There you go.
Yeah, now Mr. McKnight, never did take his gun out the car. He never did take his gun. He did have a gun too, but his gun was never taken out of his car. He never mentioned anything about.
That was mistake number one right there. But see, we sit here and not knowing that we are at war. You were in a gun battle, dude, and you didn't even bring your gun out because you not on a war footing, like Dr. Jeffries say. Sitting up here thinking everything is hunky-dory and fine.
Hunky-dory.
Going about your day.
You got la, a la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la. And these people out here on a... Dude, please don't even get me on it.
Warpath.
These people, yes, and has never stopped. Been on it for centuries. And black folks just don't realize it. Dude should have got out his car just like you watch those Rambo movies. Joe McKnight, you should have been all ducking behind your car, peeping behind the tail light, ready to fire at that fool. Shoot. Folks, black folks need to stop being so silly.
But they when really he was shooting him, when he was shooting Joe McKnight, he's one of the witnesses said on my local news, one of the witnesses said that he said that he told Joe McKnight when they was arguing, like driving down the road, he said he told him, "Didn't I tell you that I was gonna F you up?"
Mm-hmm.
And then also he do all the telephone. He has a some
contract.
Type of business. Yeah, a contract with the prisons with the telephone. And he made a statement on the scene. The witness said that he said, "You can arrest me, but I got contact to get out." Boasting and bragging about it.
Yeah, they generally do stay connected.
But as people of color, we got to start arming ourselves and taking up fire sales.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I agree with you. I agree with Scotty. I agree with Featherlight. That's what we should do. And stock your weapons. Stock your weapons. Stock your ammunition. Stock your water. Stock your coconut oil. And just
and
be ready
to
prepare.
And then also, that particular town where Joe McKnight got shot at, that is one of the toughest, and you can pull it up and look at it. That is one of the toughest stand your ground law.
Well, what, in the state of Louisiana?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, it's worse than Florida. It's worse than Florida because I didn't know it was that particular script until they had Nancy Grace on Good Morning America this morning, her and another man. And they were saying it was one of the strictest law it is, but now they are trying to go back in the legislature and thinking about trying to change it.
Oh, Lord, they're always trying to do something. These people create laws to fit what they want to do, and what they want to do is lock us up back in enslavement and either shoot and kill us. So that's what they want to do. They're always talking about all this other little stuff that they want to do. That's their main goal, always has been, and they stay on point with that. Let's talk about this Walter Scott and this cop, this Slater, another terrorist, with this mistrial, just like the cop Tennyson up there in Ohio. The mistrial with killing Sam DeBose. So, Scotty, can we play this clip 5?
Pulling it up now.
In other news tonight, a mistrial has just been declared in the murder trial of a South Carolina police officer who killed an unarmed black man. The deadly outcome was caught on cell phone video. Officer Michael Slager was facing a maximum of life in prison after he shot Walter Scott 5 times in the back, killing him. The 2015 incident reignited anger among the black communities against police violence across the country. For 4 days, the jury, made up of 11 whites and 1 black person, could not reach a verdict. But an hour ago, the judge confirmed the jury could not reach a verdict. It's a hung jury. Let's go back to Mike Papantonio. Mike, what are the legal options right now in the midst of a hung jury as far as the prosecutor is concerned? What normally happens here?
Prosecution has a couple of options. If I were prosecuting this case, they're going to look at it. Pretty similar to what I do. They can either say, listen, we're going to negotiate with you now. We had, understand, this was only one juror out of the entire jury that says, I'm not going to go forward. So the defense realizes they're on very thin ice. Yeah, this prosecution has the right to say, you know what? No double jeopardy here. We're going to try it again. Same resource, same story. We know what your defense is now. We're going to react to it. We're going to put your guy through the trial again. Now, understand, this man is also facing a federal indictment, Ed, that also subjects him to life imprisonment if things go wrong. So Slayer's got a long, hard road. Probably the defense lawyer is trying to say to him, you know, if we can get a break, you need to take manslaughter because we don't have the kind of defense you think we had this first trial because we don't have the surprises. We don't have the element of surprise, which is so important in a case like this.
Is there a chance the prosecutor would walk away from it?
No, I don't think so. I think for a prosecutor to walk away where you have a hung jury with only one juror holdout, I think would ruin that prosecutor's career, both in the area of prosecution and probably private practice as well. This prosecutor probably needs to put their big boy pants on and take the attitude, we're going to do it again, understanding all along that the feds are in this too. The feds have a big hammer over Slager's head, and they need to hold it there. This is an atrocious case, misconduct, the very worst I've seen in many, many years covering stories like this.
So that was a clip referencing the mistrial with this slave catcher, Slater, who shot Walter Scott in the back, if you recall. I know sometimes our memories are kind of short. But Walter Scott, he exited his car, began to run. He was pulled over because of a broken taillight, which I think that police officers should have nothing to do with anything on our car. You don't know if I just pulled out of a parking lot and someone bumped into me and broke my taillight, damaged my taillight. And I didn't look at it because I just came in and got in my car. Why are you stopping me because of that? I'll see it when I get home and I'll fix it.
Right.
I mean, what's this all about anyway? All these stupid laws like that anyway. Mm-hmm. Police being able to just pull us a reason to pull us over.
Black Rose, I kid you
money
not.
From us.
Mm-hmm. I kid you not. If we got any listeners from the state of Arizona, y'all can call in and back me on this. But I was stationed at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which is 5 miles from Tombstone, and the largest city is Tucson, that was close to where I was. They don't even have a state inspection. Like in many states, you had to have your car inspected every year. It's got to meet an emission test, and the lights got to work, and the tires got to be right. They have all of these different points of inspection. And then you have to get that sticker and get approved in order for you to be able to drive that car on the road. Now, in Arizona, I seen cars that looked like jalopies. I saw one that looked like it was the Beverly Hillbillies riding down the street. And they don't have any kind of, I mean, I'm serious. They don't have inspections down there. So I agree with you. If they can do that in the state of Arizona, then it should be nationwide.
Right. I mean, it's this, who agreed to these laws, and why is it that once these laws are on the book, we have no way to re-vote on these laws? That's something that I don't like at all. I don't agree with that. I don't think that they should be able to pull people over. That's how Sam DeBose was pulled over. Had something to do. Oh, license plate. That's how Corrine Gaines was pulled over. License plate. All of these little traffic stops are just ways for them to infringe upon our human rights. Again, it's just like you having to have a slave pass. If you just view it in that perspective, I have to have some type of papers to travel. Why? I thought this was the land of the free. How come I can't just walk? How come I can't walk down the middle of the street like Mike Brown without you telling me I need to get on the sidewalk? Why? It's my street. It's my neighborhood. Why? Why do I need to get on the curb? I want to walk in the street. White people do it in Austin all day long, and they do it intoxicated and inebriated and vomiting all over the damn street. Police don't say anything to them. So, again, changing our ways. We need to change our responses and our ways. So, mistrial because one stupid-ass man just says that he just cannot convict slaughter of killing Walter Scott when this man was shot in the back running away. Then on top of that, you try to drop a taser down on the man. I mean, and all of this is on video. So what else do you need? So that should tell us the position that we're in. And then now let's regroup, because we've been under this illusion that everything is fine. Once again, la 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 la, traveling along, and we're at war. We really are. And I hope that people are beginning to realize that. But then it goes back to knowing who you are. So any thoughts or comments on Joe McKnight or the mistrials before we go into Fred Hampton?
Yes, I believe that white men, they knew from day one. That's why they picked the jury the way they did.
Yeah.
They knew that white man, when they questioned him, they already knew that he was not going to go against the police. He said he just couldn't go against the when the his lawyer argued that he said, don't look at color, look at blue. That's what he argued. So, okay, they knew from day one that these white folks was not gonna, you was gonna have one and not convict this man. And so I think as people should have, Reverend Barber, different ones, if he up around that area or whatever, I think people should have protested about an all-white jury. That's basically because you gave the black man, the farmer, to be the head, that ain't nothing. Because you had already had your plan on there. You knew how it was going to turn out. So we need to start protesting about the makeup of the jury.
Well, you know what the argument is to that, Delta. Then the argument is always, well, the way that you're selected for jury is you have to be for jury duty is you have to be a registered voter, and we just don't have enough black people that's registered to vote, and all of this and all of that. So that's always the argument to that.
You are exactly right.
Yeah,
Blake
but
Rose.
It still could.
Here's an article that I'm just about to share. Here's how black people could use jury nullification to break the justice system. And this is something I've talked about for years. Why do we go in there and convict people on nonviolent drug crimes? And then I remember the George Zimmerman trial, and that one black woman, I mean, I was just so embarrassed and so angry at her talking about people need to knowledge themselves on the law, that they don't understand, and that George Zimmerman was innocent. But anyway, we keep putting people in the prison for nonviolent so-called drug crimes, and you know, the few of us who do get in the jury pool, you know, we always go along with them and send somebody into slavery over some pot or something. If it's involving children, yeah, you shouldn't have been selling no drugs, I don't care what kind of drugs, to no child. So I'm sorry, you do have to be punished. Now, but in terms of consenting adults, oh, this adult had some marijuana on them. No, I'm not convicting them of no crime, jury nullification. And so this is from an article from Above the Law, but the title is Here's How Black People Could Use the Jury Nullification to Break the Justice System. And so these people that say, I can understand you do have a valid argument. I may not agree with every point, but I'm not going to argue with somebody who don't vote. But guess what? You can still register to vote and don't vote, because that's how you get on the jury pool. So if we're not going to pick up arms to overthrow the system, then let's try to infiltrate the system, do whatever we can to get in these jury pools, for because we see that they're sending so many of our people into modern slavery. So I agree with you, right. Black Rose. We have to get on these jury pools. If you don't vote, that's still register so you can get on the jury pool.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right. I definitely
because if I ever went on a jury, I would never vote a black person to go to jail. Never.
Would you say never, Delta?
Never. I would never.
Never, never, never.
If you chop one of them head off, I would never vote for him to go.
Speaking of which, so what's his name? Dylan Roof. He's going to defend himself, serve as pro se, but he will have legal counsel to assist him that he can consult with, from my understanding, last I heard with that. And I hope that that joker goes to jail and the brothers need to make sure that Dylan knows that that was a horrible crime. And
Rose, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was trying to say, now don't get me wrong, y'all know I'm a Christian woman, but I'm sick of these folks getting up talking all this stuff, and they taking this to the extreme when they get up there and talking about pray. Okay, yeah, we can pray sometimes, but there's sometimes we got to do some action.
Faith without works is dead. I always say that.
Faith without works is dead. It just don't make no sense. Somebody bust your head open, and you're going to sit and you're going to continue to let them bust your head open.
And okay, have a prayer vigil.
Come on now. It's time to start busting heads back.
Yeah. I always have to quote Malcolm. And then let me just go ahead on and speak on a little bit on Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, and then we're going to close out with our sexual energy also. Like Malcolm said, it's time to stop singing and start swinging. So put down your prayer hymns and whatever y'all call them, the hymnals and all of that, and pick up you some weapons. And children too, just like the little Palestinian children do, because these people are constantly attacking us. I want to talk just really briefly on Fred Hampton, and we always talk about Chairman Fred Hampton here, but in particularly tonight, because on December 4th, 1969 is when Chicago PD, a group of thugs, a gang, raided Fred Hampton's place where he was sleeping because he had been drugged by an informant for the CPD. And he was brutally assassinated. On this past Sunday, as we mentioned, Colin Kaepernick kneeled before Sunday's game to honor the anniversary of Chairman Fred Hampton's killing, because the game was played in Chicago, so he said that it was quite fitting to honor him. There are a lot of issues that still need to be addressed, he stated, and he said that there's significance being here today, seeing it's the anniversary of the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton. Being in Chicago, being able to acknowledge a black figure and a black leader like him is very important. He went on to say his role as a leader in this community and bringing the community together is something that needs to be acknowledged. I'm glad that he did acknowledge that and the press was able to record that. And I hope that some of the young people and older people that may not be familiar with the works of Chairman Fred Hampton, just Google him. Google Fred Hampton, chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. He was born August 30th, 1948, and raised in the Chicago suburb of Maywood, Illinois. Brilliant young man. He was a member of the National Association for Colored People, NAACP, and he was a dynamic leader. And so in 1968, when he joined the BPP, Black Panther Party, which is headquartered in Oakland, California, I was able to meet and study with Big Man Egbert, one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party. And it was magnificent, just amazing to hear some of what he experienced and witnessed. But of course, the FBI and the Chicago Police Department, a bunch of gang members, had a Black Panther Party in Fred Hampton under heavy surveillance. And I didn't know this, though. There were over 5,000 people that attended Hampton's funeral. And of course, you had people like Ralph Abernathy and Jesse Jackson, who were there to eulogize him. So another person that was also assassinated, Mark Clark. Quite often we don't talk about, I don't hear a lot of people mention Mark Clark. I do hear people, I'm not going to say that. So we're just going to follow in that tradition. And also honor Mark Clark too, because Mark Clark was with Fred Hampton, and he was an activist and a member of the Black Panther Party. He was also killed during that pre-dawn raid on December 4th, 1969. So Mark Clark and Chairman Fred Hampton. And, you know, some of his family members, Mark Clark, say that he knew he would be murdered in Chicago. He knew, just like Dr. King, Malcolm. I guess there's just this feeling, especially when you know that we're at war and you could possibly be killed. But again, the gang, Chicago PD, shot in the house, shot Fred Hampton in the head, laughed about it, and went on and on and on. And it was nothing. And years later, of course, the Chicago Police Department and FBI admit that they did actually go in to assassinate Fred Hampton, and they admitted to their wrongdoing, of course. And this is something that's quite common and happens quite often, these incidents. And then years later, a statement is released on their wrongdoing. Listen, we are going to start having a segment on a new and raw sexual energy segment. And we're going to talk about sexual energy and how to raise your kundalini energy and raise your sexual energy. And Feather Light, you want to share a little briefly with us before we get ready to close out a little on that sexual energy? Because a lot of us have like these distorted sexual beliefs. And so we want to kind of talk about some of these things and just kind of open up and be able to release, because that energy is powerful. Not saying that you have to go out here and have sex with everybody you meet. There are other ways to release sexual energy. So the light, you want to talk a little bit about the sexual energy before we get ready to close out? I think you may be on mute, Feather Light. Can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Got this. All right. First yes. of all, sexuality is a big part of who we are, of our spiritual being. And we come from sex. And our sexual energy is our life force. It's sexual energy is powerful, and it's natural, and it comes from Mother Nature. All of these things come from sexual energy. It's how we got here. And in animals and other life forms, sexual energy expresses itself as biological creativity. And in humans, sexual energy can be creative in all levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And a balanced, open, and strong sexual energy contributes toward our vitality, our creativity, and our sense of well-being. And when we suppress our sexual energy, it throws off our chakras. And for many people, sexual energy is their only experience of meditation.
He said, "Is what to meditation?"
For many people, sexual energy is their only experience of meditation. Meditation is more than just sitting in the room with your legs crossed, you know, and you're doing your mudra and you're doing the universal sound of om. It can be just being in nature. It could be gardening. It could be, like for me, dancing. Anything that separates you and gives you peace and joy inside. And so for many people, sexual energy is their form of meditation. When you combine love with sexual expression, it can be an act of higher consciousness. Because love energy is very powerful. It's the most powerful energy there is. And when we combine love energy with erotic energies, you experience a transcendent experience happens. It's like you're transforming. It can be very, very healing. Very healing.
Yes. Very healing.
But we must remember this. It should be done with enjoyment, playfulness. A lot of times people forget to play. And honor each other fully, not just in the genital areas, but fully. And it should be done between two consensual adults, not a child and an adult, consensual adults.
All right, then.
By both parties, willfully. Not, oh God, I got to do this and get it over with, but willfully.
Yes. Like it's a chore or you're being forced. So we'll also speak more about the sexual energy and getting that sexual energy to flow. Any closing comments before we close out tonight?
A balanced sexual life is important for our well-being. Get your sexual life balanced.
Get your
Don't suppress it.
All right, and I know Delta is all about not suppressing this sexual energy. So we'll be back, and we'll be back on next Wednesday, and we'll pick back up on knowing thyself. So we'll have to pick back up on some of our topics because we didn't get to them all tonight. But I thank everyone for listening. Thank you for the light. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, listeners. And we'll be back next week. Peace and good night, and have a wonderful and prosperous week. And get your guns.
And Black Rose, I have one quote to leave everyone with. The universe is not punishing you or blessing you. The universe is responding to the vibrational attitude that you are emitting. Namaste.
That's right. Namaste. The universe is responding to you. Namaste. Peace, good night, and love and light.